let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm here in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome, Father John. Great to see you today.
It's great to be seen. Great to be here in your little cubby hole over here.
Right. Down in the, I wouldn't call it a man cave, actually. Anyway, it's a lot of fun here in the studio. We do a lot of good work here. Okay, so we are going to talk about the next part of the Joseph story, but we're really kind of taking the whole Joseph story so far and getting into the details of what happens after Joseph tells the brothers who he is.
Well, yeah, right? Actually, we're at the climax of the story.
Gotcha. Right? Yeah, right here.
Yeah, I mean, everything's been building for a long time. And if you're reading it for the first time, you're just craving to find out what's going to happen here, right?
Right. It's like the end of a movie, you know, when you're not quite at the end. You're at the big climax.
Yeah, it's that beautiful spot, you know, in a well-constructed story, right?
And so there's a lot going on here. When I read this post and when I was preparing for this, I sort of missed the main point, I think. I think the main point that you're making is that there's so much emotion happening
here.
That's
right.
And emotion can get in the way for us of a lot of things in our life. Yeah.
On the other hand, emotion is a beautiful gift that God has given us because it expresses feelings that are so deep, right?
Yeah.
And so Joseph, he seems like, since he's a master of himself, you know, you would think that, and we don't know what he's thinking throughout the whole play, so to speak, right?
Yeah, sure.
So you wonder, what's he going to do? And we see this. We see that he can't put a lid on it.
Yeah.
And he just tells everyone, all the Egyptians, to get out.
Get out of the room. I don't want you to see me like I'm about to break down.
Right. Yeah. And this is such a holy moment. I just want to be here with my brothers.
Yes.
And then he just starts making a racket, you know, which would have been startling to the brothers, because here's this Egyptian god, this Egyptian potentate with all this power, looks every bit Egyptian as the Pharaoh, right?
Yeah.
And he tells them, I'm your brother.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
And you can just imagine the speechless terror of what's going to happen to me. I mean, they're not even thinking that. They're just absolutely...
They're awestruck. They're dumbfounded.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are the words that I thought of when I was looking at this. I just thought they can't say a thing because they just cannot... It can't get through the wall in their brains that this is a possibility.
Your mind can't go that fast.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Unless you're an extremely quick thinker. But I don't think these guys were all that quick thinking. What do you think?
Probably right. Yeah, probably right.
Right. So we see that my guess is that their souls just leapt out of their bodies in fright. And they had to collect their soul again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not unlike the Day of Vengeance.
Okay. Right.
And it could be a type of judgment. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a foretaste of what it'll be for us.
When we stand before God, the
judge, right?
Yeah.
You know, what is this going to look like? Okay. And that's very sobering.
It's very sobering to think that I might end up the same way that the brothers are, completely dumbfounded.
Yeah, I mean, there's no words. I don't think when everything is just displayed, you no longer have any words before God. There are no words before God.
No,
Yeah.
Just be hoping for God's mercy.
You just there for judgment. Yeah. And everything is displayed. And now everything that all the sins that are past comes to the fore. And this could be the moment of vengeance.
Yeah.
But then they experience something very, very opposite of that.
Right. So right. Opposite. Completely the other end of the
right. Yeah.
Spectrum. Yeah.
And that's what's really shocking. I mean, they could have expected judgment. Yeah. I mean, that's probably what they were expecting. Okay,
sure.
Okay.
When Joseph says, just think about it.
Yeah.
When Joseph says, I did think about this last night. When Joseph says, I'm Joseph, I'm your brother. Their immediate thought was, we're dead.
That's right.
Our heads are rolling.
That's right. The heads are rolling. Right. Yeah. But, you know, the truth of the matter is love is more shocking than justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were not expecting love. Right?
Right. No, of course.
And that's the shocking part of the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deep down in Joseph's heart, he just had love. I'm sure there are plenty of times when he was in prison, all that stuff, and on the surface of his mind, he's saying, man, those rats.
He's feeling a little something. He would be feeling something a little different.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. But again, this is something that's true of all of us who've been redeemed and have the Holy Spirit within us and the love of God, is that no matter on the surface what you may think or feel here and there about people, when the opportunity comes,
yeah,
what comes out?
Yeah.
Is love.
What do we do?
And there may be people in your life or other people's lives that we just are so angry about. But if they would come to us in repentance, no matter how much pain they've brought us, with the love of Jesus, then immediately, spontaneously, you'd have this love.
Right. And I think for me, this has happened. You know, I mean, of course, it's happened to all of us.
Right.
It's not even they come in repentance.
Right.
They just show up.
They show
in
up
in my life,
you know,
and
yeah.
They're not apologetic or anything.
Yeah.
But there's no,
yeah,
there's no response except to say, no, I still care for you. You know, I
that's right.
I'm not angry,
that's
and not
right.
even say that, but just act as though everything is okay.
Right. Yeah. And that's the love of God within us. Okay. So Joseph's control is absolute over Egypt, but it's also absolute over his own person.
Yeah.
Okay. And so throughout the story, you see that he's like God. He's arranging things all around, you know what I mean? To get to this point where he sees the hearts of his brothers. And so therefore he reveals himself. And at that point, he allows his emotions to fly.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, throughout scripture, you see that God is very emotional, but not emotional like humans. It's an anthropomorphism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
There's something about emotions that are like God up there, but far beyond anything that we know, right?
Yeah.
But the emotions is that thing God's given us to express ourselves, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. Although, it's very, what should we say? I mean, you know, sometimes I get emotional during the mass, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. You know, so that it's an embarrassment almost, because, and you don't want to, you know, blubber up there in front of everybody, right?
Right, sure.
But, you know, it's a very personal thing. You're becoming very, what's the word when you're vulnerable?
Vulnerable.
That's the
thanks.
Word.
I'm yes.
Yeah, very
good,
vulnerable.
Thank you.
Right.
Yep. And I'm in front of many people.
Right.
And I'm sharing some kind of story, and I can't get through it without, and it's, you know, Doris always says, stop, breathe.
Breathe.
Yeah. So it's hard.
Just being old geezers like you and me.
No, but this happened to me when I was young too.
Oh, I did it. Okay. Okay. Yeah, right.
But I'm an Irishman.
Now in our culture though, emotions are everything, and they're not really controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there are four great emotions that John of the Cross talks about. There's joy, which is the opposite of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fear, which is opposite of hope. Okay.
Yeah.
And so joy is a great thing, but we have to rejoice over the right thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We have to joy in the way God would. With joy,
mm-hmm.
right? And the world joys in things that are often, well, you know.
Not the things.
Evil. And
yes.
we rejoice in evil even. you know, we can.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Right, right. And then we have to fear the right things. The fear of God especially, right? And the fear of doing wrong. You know, we don't want to do that, right?
Sure. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
And then we have to fear the right things. The fear of God especially, right? And the fear of doing wrong. You know, we don't want to do that, right?
Sure.
Although
that keeps us on track.
So that's the emotion. So much of our emotions are guided by fear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So much of our anger and stuff comes right out of fear,
mm-hmm.
right? So the wise person, or the person that's, as St. John of the Cross would say, is guided by his will. He impresses his will over his emotions so that he fears for the right thing and he doesn't fear over the wrong things, right?
Yes,
that's
right.
That takes a lot of power, willpower, that's self-control,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Right.
That's not something that I do well.
Well, you know, I'm so embarrassed of myself. I embarrass myself all the time. I'm glad people don't see me sometimes by myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, the opposite of fear is hope, okay? And that's an emotion, too. We hope. In our culture, it's almost wishful thinking. I hope I get this, or this, because if I get this or this, I'll be happy. But we're never happy when we get this, and this, because they're temporal things, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. We are to hope, which is to have this knowledge. It's a knowledge of the future that God gives us through Scripture and through illumination through Scripture of being able to live in heaven before we're even there, that sort of thing, right?
Sure.
And so that's the emotion that we walk around with, you know. But it all takes a long time to arrange or rearrange our miswired souls so that our emotions are not ruling us, but by our will, we do have power over your emotions, but it doesn't mean that you don't lose it.
Yes.
Because he's lost it, you know, in deep emotion. And that's a beautiful thing here.
Right.
Right. But he didn't do it at the wrong time.
Yes.
He did it at just the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an important thing to keep in mind here in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So something we aspire to, you know, this is called theology and story. Okay. There's this guy, great scholar, Urs von Balthasar. Isn't that a mouthful? I mean,
wow.
Do you ever have a book that sits on your shelf and you just read a few pages of, you know, I've got this thing for 10 years or so. I'm still trying to get through it. It's so heavy.
Oh, wow.
But I want to get through it. It's called Theodrama, because his whole point is that people in our society today are not going to sit down and pick up Thomas Aquinas, and it's not going to mean anything to them, right?
Sure.
It doesn't mean that what Thomas Aquinas says is important, or that his method isn't important. It addresses the human intellect in a way that we in the Western world have become so dumb we can't really, you know.
Right, can't pick it up.
We can't pick it up.
Yeah.
So how do you do theology in a non-thinking world? That's what Balthasar is saying, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he says, by drama.
Huh.
Drama. Looking at life as a drama. We are all put on the stage, like Shakespeare says, right?
Yeah, sure.
We're here just for a little while. And no matter what part you're given, it doesn't matter. What really matters is they play your part well.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And on top of that we have true power in our lives. We're not a little... What do you call those things that that you can, puppets that have?
Marionettes.
Marionettes. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, marionettes. We're not, you know, I mean, God would be totally bored if he's like a little little girl moving dolls around inside of his house, making them do what he wants
on
them
stage.
To do, right?
Yes, on the stage, yeah.
Right. So what is he's given us real power of self-determination.
Mm-hmm. That freedom.
He's given us real freedom. And his greatness is that God rules through secondary causes, right? That's his greatness. He's given us wills, like he gave the brothers wills.
Yep.
And it may not have worked out well, right?
Yeah.
But he gave them room and space to come to their own decisions.
Sure.
Yeah. And it worked out that God was working even when their decisions were poor.
Yeah.
Like, let's get rid of the bum. Okay, let's get rid of this kid, right?
Right, yeah.
Right?
He's bothering us.
Yeah, he's bothering us. You know, he allowed them to do that.
Yeah.
And yet he rules through the secondary causes, which is a very Thomistic way of looking at things. And that's basically what von Balthasar is saying, is that this stage of life is so interesting because you never know what people are going to come up with. Never know.
Right.
And sometimes when it looks so dark, you know, which is all the time, who's in control of this?
Yeah.
Well, God is. Okay.
Yeah.
And now you could write books on the sovereignty of God and human freedom. And they're thick. Sometimes they're just so hard that
impossible to read.
Who has time to read, you know, all these stacks of theology books by great minds of the church, which is good. It's all good and wonderful, right?
Well, for other great minds of the church to read them.
Yeah. But the truth of the matter is you can't beat this story for theology.
Yeah.
You can't.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's all packed in here and it's in a story form.
Yep.
And so we learn our theology through narrative.
And it's all just, for me, it's all just a surprise, just like God is. You know, that's the thing is, again, I've read this story lots of times, worked my way all the way through it, you know, with the whole brothers come to this climactic point and never really got the whole idea that what you just said is true, that God worked through all this stuff that happened to get to the point that he was trying to make.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's so great that he can work through our real, very real, because we're real people.
Yeah.
Right. And if we didn't have a will, we wouldn't be real.
Sure. It's that working through our ability to make crazy decisions that seem unexpected, but he's still able to work with that.
And God never violates our freedom.
Mm.
I mean, that's such a powerful point, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. He has such deep respect for our freedom. So anyways, I guess I'll conclude something. I might have said this before. You never know after all these podcasts how many things you said and what you didn't say, right? But I like what Thomas Merton says in an introduction in one of his books. Can't remember off the top of my head. But he said that human freedom and divine sovereignty, it's a paradox. And you have to push them to their extremes, right?
Sure.
We don't live in the middle with some sort of a balance, okay, of balancing human freedom and divine sovereignty. No, it's more radical on that. It's like living on the edges, and that is we are far more self-determined than we think we are.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Far more responsible than we think we are.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you have to push that out as far as you can, but at the other end, you have to realize that God is far more powerful. He's far more sovereign. He's far more in control. And as a sovereign king, has absolute power on the other hand. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You push both of those out to an extreme, and then you come to truth, and you live in a very dynamic way, okay? And you understand that this thing called human history is so full of God and yet so full of free acts of human will.
Sure,
okay, yeah. So that, you know, this is reading somebody, you know, one of the French existentialists like Foucault or, you know, Sartre, I don't know who it was. He says, well, there can't be a God because if there is a God, I can't be free.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's like the exact opposite.
Right, right. And so for an existentialist, existence comes before essence. What that means, the fact that I exist is it comes before any sort of set of truths that are universal out there at all.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because if there is some truth or universals out there, I'm beholden to them.
Okay.
Right?
Gotcha, yeah.
You see? And so that's where we are today, right? Where God is completely out of the picture, because what's really, really important to most people is, hey, I'm free to do what I want.
Right, yeah.
Right. So anyways, this is a deep subject, and we can talk more and more on that, but this is all so wonderful. It's all packed into this story.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. It's just amazing how God plays a part in so much of my life, and I sort of don't even know it until I turn around and look backwards and see
right.
that's what has happened.
Yeah. And we'll have that moment, Danny, where we stand before God Almighty.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be speechless.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Right.
Good. Okay.
So, the mercy. It's all about mercy, huh?
Yes. Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Okay.
Great God talking bless. To you today.
Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.